She was very advanced in reading, and she was very artistic. And I just felt she was being stifled in the school environment.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
My name is Joanna Wiersma, and I live in Cold Springs, which is just north of Cobourg, outside of Toronto, for about an hour drive. My oldest child is Janita, and she just turned 22, and I have a son, Julian, who's 20, son, Daniel, 17, foster son, Zach, who is 15, and a daughter, Araya, who's 11, soon to be 12. I took them out all for different reasons. I stopped my older daughter because she was very advanced in reading, and she was very artistic, and I just felt she was being stifled in the school environment, and the teachers kept saying, well, she has to learn to operate in a group and learn group skills, and I kept saying, well, you know, at the expense of her creativity, I don't think so. This doesn't make any sense. You know, she was reading books like Little Women in grade 2, and they pulled that away from her and said that she had to read from the reader, and she told them it was boring, and it was just not a good scene. And my son had the opposite problem. He has dyslexia. And so after grade 1, they already said that he had ADD, and that, you know, he was going to be a problem in school. And the year before, he would sit on the couch for 2 hours looking at encyclopedias. He didn't have ADD. They just didn't know how to reach him. And he came out of that experience saying that he was stupid, and his self-esteem just plummeted. So I thought, well, that's it. He's out of there. And he was a very slow reader because of his dyslexia. By the time he was at the end of grade 3, he probably was reading at end of grade 1 level, but he didn't know because he had no one to compare himself to at that point because he was unschooled. And he said to me one day, he said, I wish my friends could see me now. He was so proud of himself, and he didn't know that he was still like probably 2 grade levels. But it didn't matter. Because it was, I mean, it doesn't matter when you're homeschooled or unschooled. You know, everybody just works at their own level, and it's fine. And by the time they reach adulthood, nobody would ever know when they started reading or when they started doing all these things. It doesn't, it's insignificant at that point. After I started unschooling and keeping the kids home, I realized that the homeschooling is a lot more about people making than it is about education for me. Education is important, but people making is number one. By people making, I mean that they become the people who they really are, rather than being influenced by peers and teachers. And when my daughter was in grade 7, you know, she was just fascinated by Aboriginal, and so she would dress, you know, with all sorts of feathers and blankets, and she would walk around the countryside, you know, and walk to the store like that. And my husband and I said to each other, you know, oh my goodness, if she was in school in grade 7, would she be doing this? No. I mean, it just would not fly. And that's the way it's been for all our children. They can just sort of live out their fantasies and do what they really feel like they want to do, live out their creativity. Being in school, there's, you know, not any time for that. It's not encouraged. And then, of course, in grade 7 and 8, especially for girls, it's a very difficult time with peers. It's the beauty culture time, and I was really happy that, you know, my kids could avoid that. I always give my kids a choice when they get to grade 8. Do you want to go into high school or do you want to stay home? And most of them have opted for high school just because they, at that time, are so independent and they know themselves so well that it's not an issue. I can't really speak for anyone else, but for my own children, what it was is that by the time they're 14, they're ready for the world. They're just ready to get out of the home. I see it as a developmental process. They feel that they want to socialize with children more. There's more opportunity at a school level. There's bands, there's drama clubs, there's sports. There's so much more than you can offer at home. And they're just ready to start, you know, cutting the apron strings a bit more. And going to school and being involved in that is certainly one way of doing that. And that's how it's been for my children. It's been a very gradual, nice transition to have them to leave at about 14. I don't think they're choosing the education system. Mm-hmm. That's not why they're going. They're not going because, you know, they like to all sit in a class with 30 kids and be, you know, talked to about half things that they're not interested in. No, it's not for that. I think they go to school because that's the setting that our culture and our society has, where young people can meet and be together and be in clubs and activities, and, you know, school's very conducive for that. My oldest daughter, Janita, after high school, took 2 years off and traveled. She worked for an organization called Woofers, working on organic farms, and traveled through Europe just doing that, working on farms for anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 months. And then she'd move to another place and got a lot of experience living with host families, learning the culture, picked up a bit of the languages. And then she started Mount Allison University last fall. And by that time had been out of school for 2 years, so she was really ready to go back to school. She's studying fine art and hopes to do a music minor starting this year. And because she was out of school for 2 years and so ready to start, she did very well in school. She ended up with both semesters with a 3.9 average and got all sorts of scholarships in the dean's list and all that this year. So it was good for her. My son, he is right now he just called me a few hours ago, Vancouver Island, and he's taking a bus tomorrow to a Whitehorse. He's going to bike from Whitehorse to Prince Rupert, take a ferry to the northern tip of Vancouver Island and bike the island and just sort of explore the west on his bicycle along with another friend. He finished high school and got a very lucrative scholarship, $7,000 to attend the University of Guelph, because all my children, when they get to high school, do very well, even though I don't push academics at all. So he went to Guelph, but he knew he wasn't ready to go. But because this scholarship, he couldn't defer it, he thought, oh, well, I'm going to go anyway and try it out, and didn't like it at all. So he now has been accepted by a smaller university and hopes to go next September after he gets his travel bug out of him. He's doing very well. He's just enjoying life right now, having the time of his life. And then my third son just finished high school. He's the first group, of course, to finish at grade 12. So he's decided he wants to take a couple years off, too, before he goes to university. And I think this is probably because they've all been homeschooled that they want to take time off between, you know, it's like, okay, I've done this school thing, and really I need a break now to sort of ground myself. I think that's what it's all about. And then, of course, university is a bit different. My daughter found it to be, you know, more just fits in better than in with her than high school did. So, and this, my second son is a very talented musician. He's a pianist, and he's in his second year of the ARCT level which is your performer's level. He's won so many scholarships and trophies and awards, I can't even think of them all, and he just returned from playing in the provincial finals at McMaster University, and actually is right now at a training up in Campbellford with quite a famous pianist from the States, putting on a concert tomorrow. He will be using his year to study music, finish up all his co-requirements for his AICT, which is, you know, counterpoint, harmony, and history, and all that. And then he hopes to take a year traveling, and how he wants to travel is he wants to plan his route and write letters to the places that he's going to and offer a concert, because he can put on like an hour and a half concert, no problem, and tell them that if they want to put a benefit concert on, he's willing to play, and all he wants is, you know, some board and lodging for the couple of days that he's there. And then he'll move around to another place and do the same thing. And then I have a foster son, and he came to my home when he was 10, in school, of course. Spent most of his time in the office and detentions and oh, gosh, it was just a nightmare. So I talked to the children's aide, and I said, you know, do you mind if I homeschool him? Because really, he needs some grounding. And so they did approve it, but I was the only case that they approved. They said nobody else was allowed. It's, I guess, policy that they don't allow children from children's aid to be homeschooled. So I had him home for a year and a half, and then he also entered at grade 9, but he was a little older. He was almost 15 when he entered. And then I still have my daughter home. She's 11, almost 12. She was wondering whether she should start in grade 7, and I said, oh, don't do that. That's the worst time to start. I said, just enjoy your childhood. A couple more years at home, and before you know it, it'll be over. My kids say they want to homeschool, and their friends and their teachers at high school. I've had more high school teachers come up to me and pat me on the back and say, good for you for homeschooling. That's just wonderful. Your kids are amazing kids, and they're bright, and they're this. And one history teacher came up to me and said, your daughter could teach the class better than I could. She knows more about World War II than I do, because she's a reader, and she spent the last year homeschooling on the couch reading. That's all she did. She read. Mm-hmm. She knows everything. She knows all history through novel. When I say I don't push academics, doesn't mean I don't do anything. Mm-hmm. They all, you know, they know what they have to do. I have certain requirements. Hopefully they'll do a bit of math every day. I mean, if they do it 3 times a week, I'm happy. But, you know, we try and do it every day. Some journaling, and I really encourage a lot of reading. All my children are heavily into music, so my little girl, who's 11, she's in 2 choirs, and she dances. She's in, like, 8 dance classes. She plays violin and piano, and so the arts is a big thing around here, so that takes precedent. Every day she would do a little bit of something, 3 or 4 subjects, maybe some French, and or she'd do a project. She'd study something she's interested in, animal or some country that she wanted to know more about, and then we'd sort of incorporate all the, that's your writing and your reading and your spelling. And so I'm a really unstructured type of homeschooler with a bit of structure. Yeah. Oh yeah, the kids know that there's, when they get up, they've got things to do. My daughter's also very big time into animals, and so she does 3/4 of an hour chores every morning and 1/2 hour every night. She milks goats, She has a horse that she rides, and she has 7 chickens and bunnies and a cow, and she goes around, does all the chores by herself. So she does that first in the morning, and then she comes in, and then she does a couple pages of math, and she does some reading, and she does some journaling, and then, like I say, maybe some other thing then. And then that's it. I'm happy. We were very fortunate that we were part of, once I started homeschooling, the next year it caught on like wildfire around here. And, well, I shouldn't say wildfire, mm-hmm. but then by the next year we had 5 families. And the next year we're into 7, 8. And so we did a lot of things together as a group. We go skating regularly. We do a lot of field trips. We always put on a play every year. A pretty major production, and sometimes one that the children have written, and if not, we do a classic like The Wind in the Willows or Anne of Green Gables, or, you know, we've done so many, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and so we've always done a lot with a group, and that's the only thing that I really, really stress for homeschoolers, you know, just keep up that group thing. Mm-hmm. It's really, really important, very important, you know, at least once or twice a week, get them into some sort of group structure, field trip. We did an awful lot of field trips. Probably every other week we were going on field trips. We had people mentoring the children in different levels. Sometimes we had them do sort of like an apprenticeship where they would go to a store, and my daughter went to a flower shop for a while and worked as an apprentice there, just learning about flowers. And another woman took 2 of my children into her store. She had an antique store, and she would have them do cataloging and pricing and sort of walk them through the steps of owning a store. And they were actually quite young when they did that. They were probably, maybe 10, 11. Yeah, so we've always had people like that took our kids under their wing for a little while and showed them what they were doing. And yeah, that was our intention, to expose them to different things. And we went out and looked for that.
Did you have to pay for any of this?
No, they were all, well, not the flower shop. The other woman, we weren't really friends, but she was an acquaintance. And the flower shop, we just went out into the community and asked, with my son, who's a pianist, we went around to old age homes for him and said, you know, he'd like to be out in the community. And he actually got to be chummy with some of the people in the senior residences. You know, they'd wait for him to come, and he'd strike up quite a conversation with them. There are various groups in our community that homeschool. And what I like about our group is that it's loosely connected. It's not a type of structured group where we have monthly meetings and, you know, there's none of that. Everybody's in charge. There's no hierarchy with who calls about field trips. Everybody just sort of does it spontaneously. There's no pressure like, oh, you know, you haven't organized an activity for a long time, so why don't you do something? Like, there's none of that going on. Everybody just sort of takes leadership when they feel they want to, and that's accepted by everybody else. And so that's what I really like about the group. We don't have a drop-in format, but what we did, what we have organized over the number of years is every Wednesday afternoon we would, say, rent a community center. And then that would be like a drop-in. And we would do some programming for the kids. And again, it was, you know, everyone was asked, you know, would you want to do some programming sometime? And people would just step forward and do, you know, we had all sorts of things. We had circle dancing, and we had crafts and baking, and whatever somebody's forte was, they would just do that with the children. This year, we tried something totally new. There was a number of us that are working full-time. I'm working almost full-time in the home, though, so I can still have my daughter here. And so we did organize 2 days a week that were really structured. One, we hired a teacher, or a man who was wanting to go into teacher college, but he's older. And we had about 9 kids come together, and we rented a one-room schoolhouse that used to operate as a one-room schoolhouse in the 1800s. And the kids had a one-room schoolhouse with 9 of them, and did a lot of science, because that's one area where, you know, I must speak for myself, that's not my forte. So I don't do a lot of, I do a lot of biology, science, and a lot of animal studies with them, but not chemistry or physics or anything like that. So he did a unit on electricity, and yeah, he did, science was his thing. So, and then on Thursday we did, we had about, 20 kids there, and the parents did programming. And we actually hired a coordinator for that. And it was the most fantastic program we've ever had. You know, she would do the Renaissance, and she would come dressed as Leonardo da Vinci and just talk about him for an hour and show her slides. And then the kids painted a picture of themselves, like my daughter painted a Mona Lisa, but with freckles and red hair. And it was, yeah. And then we would eat food from the Renaissance, and they learned how to dance the dances from the Renaissance era, and they played recorder, and yeah, it was just totally integrated. And we did that all year. Like, Renaissance was our first unit, and we just did unit studies the whole year. They did Voyager, they did, traveling around the world where the kids all picked their own countries, and again, it totally integrated, you know, with the music and the food and the clothing and the history. And one thing that I like about homeschooling so much is that when the children become older, they're not just hanging around with the kids that are all the same age. It's such an artificial environment. When people say, you know, what about socialization? I just laugh, because when in your lifetime do you ever sit in a room with 20 people who are all your age? So artificial, it's crazy. It's a skill that you can teach a homeschooled or an unschooled child, is that the age barrier isn't such a huge barrier. And when my sons in particular were in grade 8 level, so they were 13, the mothers would just die if they didn't show up, because they would play with the 3 and 4 year olds. And the little kids would just love them, because they would roughhouse with them and carry them on their shoulders. So they really, and that stayed with them. My 17-year-old boy now, who's a pianist, he just loves teaching children, and it's so natural for him, and I'm sure that's because of this homeschooling experience.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
I haven't been working that long. I've been working about 3 years. And fortunately, I work in the home. Like I mentioned last year, I had the 2 days that we had a structured program for Araya. So those were the days that I would just pack totally tight at home with my clients. And the other 3 days, I would work maybe half a day. And because she's unschooled, she tends to sleep in anyway. Like, she'll sleep in to about 10 o'clock. And then she gets out of bed, and she does her chores for an hour. And then, you know, by the time she gets going, it's just about noon. And by that time, I've put in a fair bit of work already. It works out quite well. In the afternoons, you know, even if I had one or two clients, she was fine. I'm upstairs working, and she does her little thing. And the rest of the time I spend with her, drive her around to her music lessons and things. My two older children, girl and boy, if you recall, they're 2 years apart, and they were best buddies until they went to school. And I said to my husband, it's such a shame. They were so close, and now they're in school, and they don't even play together anymore. So that was another reason we took them out of school, actually. And as soon as we took them out of school, after about 2 months, they were sick as thieves. They were the best friends again. And they have remained best friends. When they were in high school, people couldn't believe they were brother and sister, because they're so close. They don't do anything without the other. And they're now 2 years apart, and they're different sex. So they have a lot of natural boundaries, like you would think, but the age difference and the sex difference didn't matter at all to them. They were so close. They're so closely knit. My daughter has a shirt that she wrote across, "No, he's my brother." Because everyone thought they were going out, because they're always together. And it's because they were together so much. And same with, well, with all my children. They're very, very closely bonded. They just absolutely love each other. The kids that are unschooled or homeschooled are so fortunate. It's a gift. It's the best thing you can give your child.
Myself in paper, I'm gonna daub myself with glue, stick some stamps on the top of my head, I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1C. Oh.